Welcome to Knowing God in the Word, brought to you by the Word of Truth Ministry, publishers of Seed and Bread. I'm your host, Bob Juno, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. This radio program is for the purpose of helping listeners fulfill the greatest need we have as believers, to know God. Today, Nathan will continue his teaching series on the flow of truth with the incredible apostles. And now, Bible teacher Nathan Johnson.
Thanks, Bob. In John chapter 6, the Lord Jesus Christ declared certain truths that caused many of his disciples to turn back from following him. Their defection caused the Lord to turn to his 12 and ask them, "Do you also want to go away?" At this time, Peter became the spokesman for the rest and responded to what the Lord said in John 6, verses 68 through 69 by saying, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, Peter, in saying this, was entirely right. And he was right in the fact that there was indeed only one upon the earth at that time who could utter a message, that by believing that message, one could get the guarantee of eternal life. Peter knew if they turned from him, there was no one else to whom they could go during the 3 years in which our Lord Jesus Christ carried on his ministry. He was the only one who had the words of aeonian life. Now, before this time in John 6, the Lord had commissioned his 12 apostles as heralds in Matthew chapter 10. And he had commanded them in Matthew 10 and forbidden them from taking any highway that would lead them to the Gentiles. They were barred from doing this and commanded only to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. By these words, the Lord Jesus Christ limited their message to a call to submission, what's commonly translated repentance, but means submission, because the kingdom of the heavens was at hand. That was the message he told them to proclaim. The kingdom of the heavens is at hand. Now, that was not an offer of salvation. That was not an offer of forgiveness. That was not an offer of eternal life. All they could do was call on people to submit or yield to the coming kingdom of the heavens, the kingdom of God. Now, these 12 men, as they went out, might have preferred to proclaim to those who heard them that they had found the long-awaited, long-predicted Messiah. They might have longed to set him forth to the people as an object of faith and to give the people a message that could lead them to eternal life. Yet if they followed the Lord's commands, and they did, they could not dare to do this. Why not? Well, because his instructions to them at that time were very specific. He told them to herald one thing and one thing only: the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. And they did not dare to paraphrase his instructions in an attempt to pad out their commission or to convey a more spectacular message. They themselves had gone through the baptism of John and had pledged themselves to submission to God and a submission to their orders. And to be submissive, they had to obey what Christ told them. Now, later interpreters would like to build up their commission and have them carrying the salvation-bringing message to all men in all places without exception. But that is a false interpretation and has no basis in the Word of God. This was not their privilege at that time. Now, later it would be. Later they would go out. but that was not their privilege during the 3 years of the Lord's ministry. Now, in their experience, during the 3 years of Christ's earthly ministry, their consciousness grew in regard to Jesus being the long-awaited Messiah. When they followed him at first, they followed him hardly knowing who and what it was that they were following. But their knowledge began to grow until we get to the important incident related in Matthew chapter 16 and verses 13 through 20. And let's turn to that portion and examine that important passage. Matthew 16, starting in verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." They see, these are the things people are commonly saying you are. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, I believe that Peter there, though he spoke himself, he spoke for 10 of the other disciples. Of course, the 11th, Judas, I think, did not agree with him. Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you," and that's singular you, speaking to Peter only here, "and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven," the kingdom of the heavens. "And whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Again, singular use there. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Now, the word commanded here, if we would examine it in Greek, it means that he charged them severely. And by this severe charge, the Lord stops all proclamation and all preaching of the important fact they just discovered. It seems that the very moment when these 12 had fully discovered just who he was, they were charged that they should tell no man anything about it. Not until after the pouring forth of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost could they speak the words that would bring about a God-generated, a theogenic, God-generated faith in the great truth that Jesus was and is the Christ. And until that pouring forth of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, Jesus alone could speak the message that would bring anyone aeonian life. Now, this is all in harmony with the words we have written in Hebrews 2 and verse 3, where the writer there writes and says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him?" And the writer of Hebrews tells us that at first the Lord was the only one who could speak it during the 3 years of his ministry. But later, what he spoke was confirmed by his apostles. Confirmed to us, he says. By the way, that's one reason I think that the author of Hebrews was not Paul. Because Paul got the word direct from heaven when he had a vision of Christ from heaven. And yet the writer of Hebrews got the word confirmed to him by the apostles. So I don't think the writer of Hebrews is Paul. But that's a side note. We are speaking of the Lord's earthly ministry. And these three things need to be firmly fixed in our minds. Number one, Jesus Christ was the first to speak the message that men could believe and lay hold of the promise of life as a result. Number 2. Before his ascension, he was the only one who could speak a message that people could believe and lay hold of the promise of life. Number 3. He only spoke that message to a limited number of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That is how it was. And we have no right to rewrite history into how we think it should have been. We have a very important event in the book of Matthew chapter 15, when a Syrophoenician woman asked the Lord for healing for her daughter. A pathetic and very heartfelt, very needed request, and yet he gave her no reply at all. And let's turn to that passage, Matthew chapter 15, starting in verse 21. I have fully adopted this passage into my thinking and into my teaching, taking by faith every word that is said in it. And I would like every listener to my voice to be patently familiar with this very important passage in Matthew 15, where we read in verse 21, Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. So the Lord Jesus acted here as if she had not even spoken to him. He didn't try to argue with her. He didn't tell her, forget it, go away. He didn't say, no, I'm not here for you. No, he said nothing to her at all. He acted as if she had not even spoken. Now, it's obvious that when the Lord did this, when he simply ignored her and said nothing to her, she started bringing her complaint and her request to his disciples, and they got sick of it. And we read, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, Send her away, for she cries out after us. They wanted him to give her an answer, either yes or no, and send her away. They were sick of her bothering them. Verse 24, But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he says that he was not sent, and that is the Greek word apostello, which I've already explained to you means commissioned. Because, of course, the Lord was not an animal, and the Lord is not an inanimate object, so the word apostello means commissioned. He was not commissioned, but onto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Verse 25, Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. So now the Lord speaks to her for the first time. And she saw in this word an opportunity for faith. And she immediately laid hold of it. She took him at his word. He had called her a dog. Well, she would take the dog's place and yet claim the dog's portion. Verse 27, And she said, Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. And I just wonder how many people would believe the Lord if the Lord's word to them was, You're a dog. And yet this woman believed it, and she got what she asked for. Now, in all the biblical record, as far as we know, as far as we have it recorded, there were only 2 Gentiles who received anything from the Lord Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry. This Syrophoenician woman got her daughter healed, and a centurion got his servant healed. Yet here in this passage, we have that very important declaration that we all need to incorporate into our thinking and our understanding. That the Lord Jesus Christ was not commissioned except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now there are many expositors of whom it is evident that they wish his statement, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel," would just dry up and go away and get lost. This statement does not fit at all with their conception that the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ was meant for all men without exception. But this statement is there in the Word of God, and it stands written. It is the Lord's own positive statement as to the extent of his divine commission. Everyone who believes and who claims to be a believer in Jesus Christ should also believe this declaration from his own lips. One who claims, "Oh, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ," and then turns around and starts to quibble and doubt about statements that the Lord himself made, well, that just brings his own faith into question. In Christ's complete submission to God, his Father, he would not be guilty of extending his own commission. His commission was to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and he stuck with it. And as I said, there were only two Gentiles who ever got anything from him. One was this Syrophoenician woman, got her daughter healed, and another was a centurion, got his servant healed. And that is the way it was all throughout his earthly ministry. And it was that way up until after his resurrection. And on the evening after his resurrection, he appeared to his disciples. And we read the important passage of John 20 and verse 21. "So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.'" Now the Lord Jesus Christ says, "As the Father sent me," and that's the word apostello, "as the Father commissioned me, even so I send you," and that's the word pempo, simple word for sending, "I send you." And he sent them the way he was commissioned. Now by sending his disciples the same way he was commissioned, these words of the Lord limited their service to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Why? Well, because his commission was also so limited. That was how they were sent. And any change in this will need to be based on later divine revelations given to these disciples. But the way they're sent after his resurrection is the same way he was sent, only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now in John 20 and verse 22, we read, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained.'" Now by this act of breathing on them and by these words, these men were commissioned once again. And they were constituted as his commissioned ones, that is, as his apostles. They were to perform on earth acts he would decree in heaven. These 12 men would become the most gifted, the most able, the most powerful, the most spiritual, the most energetic, the most incredible men who ever operated on this earth on behalf of God. He earlier had given them aeonian life, and he had given them his word. We can read about that in John 17 and verse 2 and verse 14. Now I have piled up the adjectives in describing these men. And yet we realize that these men were despised and ignored by the world in their day. And these 12 men are still put down, stultified, and belittled by the theological world of today. These men were not 12 old fuddy-duddies running around in bathrobes like they're almost universally depicted in Christian pageantry. They were God's commissioned ones, the representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one seated in the heavens on the right hand of God. They could bind a thing on earth or loose a thing on earth, and those things would be bound or loosed in heaven. They could forgive or retain sins, and they would be forgiven or retained. There were 11 men at this time in John 20, and Matthias would be added later to make up the 12. But they were the most incredible men who ever operated on behalf of God on this earth. Now, the next topic we must consider are the divine commissions. And some believe that the divine commissions counteract and deny what we just taught, demonstrating that Jesus Christ's intent was that his disciples should proclaim the salvation-bringing message to all men without exception or distinction. And this is simply not true. He was not commissioned but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as he was sent, so he sent them. Their ministry, as they started Acts, was limited to the house of Israel. We are told that what limited their ministry was their own nationalistic feelings and their own nationalistic prejudices against the Gentiles. And their commissions really sent them to everyone in the world. Well, therefore, these commissions need to be carefully examined. First, we'll look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, which is universally called the Great Commission. There we read, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.'" Now, a more accurate rendering of the Greek is a crying need here. Please note, it is my conviction that the Greek word baptizo has in it the idea of identifying, that is, of establishing a fixed relationship that results in a merger. The related noun, baptisma, is a name given to the ceremony used to establish such a relationship, but that is not its most basic meaning. So now let me give a resultant version of Matthew 28:18-20, the result of my studies in the Scriptures. "And Jesus, approaching them, spoke unto them, saying, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Going, therefore, disciple all the nations, relating them to the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all whatsoever I direct you. And lo, I am with you all the days, even to the consummation of the eon.'" Now that is an honest translation. I have made no radical changes, other than perhaps changing baptizing to relating or identifying. Now that we have this passage in a better translation, we should go on to consider it and what it means. But we'll do that in our next message.
How amazing were the first century apostles? Not amazing because of who they were, but because of who and what God made them to be. Never conflate the position these men held in the sight of God with anyone on earth since their day. Being a commissioned one of God was to be in service to God in the day when God was bringing his kingdom to Israel, the Acts period. Thank you, Nathan, for your lesson on the incredible apostles. On our next program, Nathan will continue his teaching series on the flow of truth with the Divine Commissions. Thank you for joining us today. Our hope is that the more you study God's Word, the more you know and love God. For more information on the program, to hear past programs, and for other downloadable material that Nathan has produced, please visit our website at knowinggodintheword.org. We also send out a weekly email newsletter in which Nathan does the same thing he does on this program, going verse by verse through the Bible and then discussing what it means. Email Nathan at nathan@knowinggodintheword.org and ask to be placed on this mailing list. You can also write to us with Bible questions or comments. For more Bible study literature by Nathan and other Bible teachers, including Seed and Bread Bible studies, please visit the Word of Truth Ministry at seedandbread.org or write to the Word of Truth Ministry, P.O. Box 1609, Canyon Country, California, 91386. Although your donations are always appreciated, you will not be solicited for funds in any way when you write, so feel free to contact us. This program has been brought to you by the Word of Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Bob Juneau, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. So long, but we look forward to you joining us next week on Knowing God in the Word.